Welcome to Chinese Church in Christ, South Valley. If I haven't met you before, my name is Dan. I have the privilege of serving as the English minister here. And so I get to share God's word with you today. And please be keeping Rupert and Shou Hong in your prayers as they teach at a discipleship training in Kunming right now. That was a very long passage we just read together. I believe when Rupert normally preaches, he does one or two verses at a time. But we just read 14 verses. But it's a story. And it's a really good story for us this morning. On the English side, right now, we are currently preaching through the book of Genesis. And the stories in the book of Genesis, we've been seeing just how good they are, even for our lives today. And so a couple weeks ago, we came to the life of Abraham. If you were here over the summer, you got to see a really amazing children's musical about the life of Abraham. How many of you were here to get to see the musical? Many of us. And I particularly enjoyed seeing the kids who were not even 10 years old dressed up as the characters in the story. And the young girl playing Sarai wearing makeup on her face. And then the main character holding up a knife over one of the other kids, because that's the story of Isaac. But I was really glad that we got to see a picture of the life of Abraham. Because the stories that we read about his life really are a good example to us. Much of his life that we read about are stories of his great faith. But today, what we can see in this passage, this is a time where Abram fell short. And that's good for us to think about, because we know in our lives we fall short of God's glory at times as well. And so overall, he's a great example of faith. But this story that we read, there's a lot that we can learn from it. And so at the start of the passage we read, we want to know what is going on in the story. Verse 10 says this. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. Verse 10 marks a shift in the story. At the start of chapter 12, the first thing we see in Abram's life is this calling that he gets from God. And I want to read the first two verses so we can see that this is a part of the story where God calls Abram to leave his home and his people. Verse 1 says this. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing."
Verse 2.
So the very first thing we see in Abram's life in the Bible is this message that comes from God. It's the start of many examples of conversations Abram will have with God. And in the initial calling Abram gets from God, there are some challenges. God says, leave your home, leave your people, and go to a place I will show you. But he doesn't tell Abram where. But if you keep reading in the first half of chapter 12, you see that Abram is obedient and he goes. That's faith. He doesn't know where he's going, but he goes. He follows God's leading and he is obedient. And I say this is an act of faith because as human beings, we don't like to go somewhere if we don't know the destination. Can I share with you a second generation or more ABC way of thinking when it comes to a situation like this? When I was in high school, after I got my driver's license, I realized myself and many of my friends, we spent a lot of time in parking lots. And that's because if we didn't know where we were going to eat or where we were going to hang out, it would take us a really long time to decide. And having grown up in the same area as many of our kids, there were two parking lots that I spent the most time. Our previous church building on Camden, or Safeway. I spent a lot of time in both of those parking lots. Why? Because if we didn't know where we were going next, we wouldn't leave. We would just stay there, standing around our cars while we tried to figure out where are we supposed to go next. And we'd have different ideas of where to go eat or whose house to go hang out at. And if we didn't know where we were going, we would just stay there. Abram doesn't know where he's going. God says, go to a land, I will show you. And he goes. That is very unlike us as human beings. And that is his first act of faith that we see in his story. Now, for many, if not all of you, you immigrated here to America. You came here for work, or you came here to go to a grad program. And there were a lot of challenges. But you knew where you were going. You had a destination. You had a particular school. Or a particular workplace. But Abram doesn't know where he's going or where God's leading. And he goes and he follows God faithfully. So then when we get to the story we just read, how does Abram go from having this great amount of faith but the next thing he does is he has a plan where he lies about his wife being his sister. And I've read this story many times, even back when I was a kid. And I think there's a lot that God wants us to consider when we understand this story. And so we saw at the start of verse 10, there's a famine in the land. And the word famine means that there's a shortage of food. So people are looking for food, and so Abram takes his people that are with him, and they go to Egypt. And the reason they go to Egypt is at this time in the ancient Near East, Egypt was a successful civilization. So during a time with a shortage of food, they would go to this place because they had more food. And so one thing we want to take note of is a famine is not something that Abram could have controlled. It comes as a result of nature. There wasn't enough rain. And so then people couldn't grow enough food. A famine is something that's outside of man's control. And that's an important thing we need to remember in the story if we are going to learn from Abram's actions. So what happens when he gets to Egypt? Let's read on in verse 11. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you." So Abram knew that if he went to Egypt, Sarai had this possibility of having to become one of Pharaoh's wives. At this time, Pharaoh was probably one of the most powerful people in the world. So he could basically do whatever he wanted. And that often meant taking as many women for his own wives as he wanted. So Abram knows this, and he thinks, we need to make a plan. So in this famine season, where they have to go to a place that probably they wouldn't have gone to if it wasn't for the lack of food, who is Abram most worried about? He's actually worried about himself. He's not even really thinking about exactly what's going to happen to his wife. But he's saying, we need to lie so I'll be okay. And I used to always read this story with a lot of judgment towards Abram. Because this is not a good plan. Any husbands in this room ever tried this before? You said, I'm worried about my own safety. We're going to lie and we're going to say, you're my sister, not my wife. No hands and a few heads going like this. And that's good, because this is not a good plan. But Abram is worried about himself. But before we stand in judgment of Abram, when we find ourselves in situations that are outside of our control, the famine was not something Abram could control. What is our first reaction? Do we rely on God for help? Do we ask him, God, what should I do? Or are we a little bit more like Abram? Where we say, I'm going to come up with a plan to make sure I'm safe. And we're going to see that God is not happy about this plan. And so what is the result? They lie. They lie about being brother and sister rather than husband and wife. And reading through this passage, it caused me to ask myself, are there times where there are circumstances out of my control where I might tell lies as well? Where I get worried about what is happening, so I might say something that isn't true. And as I was reflecting on this, I realized God was actually pointing out a lot of areas in my own life where I might not always tell the truth. And so one example that I'm willing to share with you this morning sometimes has to do with the ways I will talk to our students, our youth group students. There are times where I might not be 100% honest with them. Why? What kind of pastor are you, Dan? Well, I really want them to like me. I want them to think that I'm the cool, you know, nice, popular youth pastor. And so one situation that I thought of. One of the favorite youth group events is this thing called Broomball. If you don't know what broomball is, it's like a combination of hockey and soccer, and you play it on an ice rink. It's a lot of fun. It's something we like to do maybe a couple times every once in a while. But we haven't gone for a pretty long time now. And the kids will always ask me, Dan, when are we going broomballing again? And I'll tell you right now, the main reason is usually because I didn't plan it or I'm not that organized. But I want them to like me. And I'm worried if I was honest with them, then they might not like me as much. I can't control how they are going to feel about me if I'm honest with them. So what do I do? I'll twist the truth a little bit. I'll say something like, well, we shouldn't go during the school year because you have so much homework anyway. We'll go in the summer when you don't have as many classes. And then the summer comes, and if we still haven't gone, I'll say something like, well, there are people on vacation, and we want to go when everyone can go together. And so a whole year can pass, and maybe we still haven't gone. So I needed a new strategy. And my new strategy is to say, we just hired another pastor on the English side. So why don't you go ask Daniel to plan it? Because I don't want to tell them the real reason. Or just that it's not on the schedule. Because I can't control how they are going to think about me. And so But what we see in this story here, God isn't pleased with the lies that Abram tells. But it's deeper than just saying something that's true or not. God doesn't want us to go through our famine seasons that are out of our control without Him. And we see this as we read on in the story. Verse 14. When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarai was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. And so we see as a result of this plan, God is not pleased. But even though God isn't pleased, we also get to see how gracious He is as well. So just as they suspect, Sarai gets taken into Pharaoh's house as one of Pharaoh's wives. And as a result, Abram gets all this sheep and cattle and wealth, servants. And then in verse 17, we see that God brings serious diseases on Pharaoh's family. Not to Abram's family. And we continue to see this grace that God shows to Abram as we read on. Verse 18. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. He said, "What have you done to me? Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say, 'She is my sister,' so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. So Pharaoh finds out he's been lied to. And he says, "Why did you lie to me? I sentence you to death." At least that's what I think the story should say. But instead, Pharaoh says, "Take your family, take everything you have, you're free to go." So remember, as a result of Sarai being one of Pharaoh's wives, just for a very short time, Abram gets all this stuff. Cows, sheep, servants, things that would bring him more wealth. So not only does Pharaoh say, "You're free to go," but Abram also gets to take all this stuff that Pharaoh gave him. The story doesn't make any sense. You don't commit a crime against the king, and then you also get to go with the stuff that the king gave you. And the only way the story can make sense is if we see that God is graciously protecting Abram. And not only are they free to go, but all the gifts that Pharaoh gave Abram, he gets to keep them as well. It's a way that Abram doesn't have to experience the consequences that he should have received. And so really, we can start to see that this story is a wonderful picture of the gospel message. Because we, in our sin, deserve death. But because of the grace that we have in Jesus Christ, we do not endure the consequences. The same way Abram was free to go. And as Abram leaves from Egypt, as we start to read just a few verses from the next chapter, we can see that Abram remembers the faithfulness of God. We see this in chapter 13, verse 1. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. And from the Negev he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai where his tent had been earlier, and where he had first built an altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. So when Abram gets to this place where he knows he has worshipped God before, he starts to see just how faithful God has been to him. He's been able to leave Egypt safely with his wife, his family, and all this extra wealth. And so as he travels, when he comes across this altar where he had worshipped God before, he remembers how faithful God has been to him. Verse 4 says, Abram called on the name of the Lord. In the English translation, there are several different ways you can make sense of the word call. When it says he called on the name of the Lord, it could mean he worshipped God. It could mean that he cried out to God, knowing that he needed forgiveness. But whatever the meaning of that word, the important thing that he does now is something that he forgot when he was going to Egypt. He remembers God. He remembers that God is with him. The title of this message is Forgotten Blessing. And I think that term can have multiple meanings for us this morning. If we come to a famine season in our lives, where things are outside of our control, we might find ourselves in a very difficult work situation. For those of you parents that I talk to about your children, you might wonder, when is my son or daughter going to listen to me or have a conversation with me? And I'm happy to have those conversations with you and give you advice. But when we find ourselves in a situation outside of our control, the best thing we can do is remember God. Abram forgot that as he was approaching Egypt. And the result was, my wife, you are now my sister. As you read on in chapter 13, you start to see that you start to see ways that Abram acts just very faithfully to God. Because when he passes by this altar where he had worshipped God before, it's a way that he remembers God. So really, there are multiple forgotten blessings in our lives. The first is that we forget that God's presence is with us in our famine seasons. But maybe even more importantly, when we fall short, God's grace will be with us, the way that he was with Abram. Because the amazing thing about God's grace to his people is that if you are a follower of God, he bears the consequences that we deserve when we fall short. Abram clearly fell short in this passage. And though the next several chapters are examples of him acting very faithfully to God, we will also see later on, he falls short again. But God's grace continues to go with him. What's funny is when I think about the conversations that I have with our youth group students, When I am not 100% honest with them, I don't feel like I experience that many consequences. They might whine or complain a little bit and say, can you plan the next broomball trip? But I still have a friendship and a relationship with them. And in the way that Abram fell short, his relationship with God continues on in very powerful ways. So when we come into our own famine seasons where something is out of our control, do we remember that God is with us? We remember, we don't have to make our own plan when something is confusing or there's something that we can't handle. But that God wants to guide us in those moments. And when we forget, because when we forget, God's grace will cover us. So Abram, in this passage, he messed up pretty badly. He let fear lead him to tell a lie that was very dangerous. He very easily could have lost his life. And yet he doesn't face the consequences. And if you go all the way back to the beginning of this book, we can see that from the moment Adam and Eve eat the fruit in the garden, man has been trying to be God. We try to do it our own way. Abram tried to do it his own way, going into Egypt. And we often do the same thing. But because of Jesus Christ, we still have this relationship with God. And he continues to be gracious to us in the same way he was gracious to Abram. And so I hope we can see that this story, this is really good news. I pray that it will help us remember we can ask God for guidance in the moments that are out of our control. But that we can also experience his grace in the moments that we fall short. And this story of Abram's life, it really is good news. And our stories are as well when we get to experience the grace of God. And so when we fall short, may we remember God's grace the way that Abram did. Grace that is only there for us because he is a God who loves us so much. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. God, your word is good news to us. Because in this story of Abram that we read, we get to see so much of your grace.